morning, bonsoir. I think tonight you won't contradict me here. I think we have a pretty good mass. So something may happen by the end of the evening. Thank you for coming in spite or because of this extreme or relatively extreme cold. You know me, Michel Valentin. I work at the University of Montana. I'm president of the Alliance Française. The Alliance Française is a cultural, pedagogical non-profit association. The Italian have one, the Dante Alighieri Society. The Spanish have one, the Cervantes Society. The German, the Goethe Institute. And you have the Alliance Française, which has been in existence in Missoula since 1999, thanks to the ex-president, Mrs. Talbot, who is in the back, I think. Thank you. In February 1st, which is a Monday, we'll have Dr. Serge Tisseron, who is a psychologist specialist of children's psychology, will come to University of Montana lecture on violence, images, and children, and ways to prevent bad influence on negative violence on children. Could be interesting. And there'll be also a reception here, and Dr. Tisseron will sign some of his books. Governor Schweitzer knows what good poetry is since he awards the Montana Poet Laureate title every other year, right? What he may not know is that, although not a traditional commodity as such like wheat, wood, energy, or minerals, Montana literature and poetry do sell abroad. Not only is poetry well and alive in Montana, but narratives and poems are exported, that is to say translated, and of all places to France, this country which makes the chronicler Polly Platt ask herself in her now famous book, France, Friend or Foe? But to change register and get out of the so and controversial metaphor of the marketplace, let's take solace and reassurance in the fact that we have good poetry. Like fresh air, good poems are more necessary than usual, especially in our polluted times when people feel hopeless, lost, or apocalyptic, when workers are forced out of factories and shops, when people drown in their flooded homes, New Orleans. Because poetry has its own way of communicating complex perceptions. Poetry is a refusal of complacency, a negation of hopelessness, and the why bother? It summons up what makes us human, sensitivity, emotions, intelligence, courageous and constructive energy and action through words. When postmodernism makes sure that media images precede and impose a certain unpleasant reality on us, we have to shout, no, hide yourself, commodified object, and tinsel image, because poetry precedes reality. Tonight you are going to hear and taste the result of an exemplary work of communication and togetherness between a father, a son, oh my God, sounds like God, an institution, and in the background, a mother. Thank you.
We'll get this thing rolling. There's a lot of people standing. I'd like to thank Garth for volunteering this space. And I'd really like to thank Michelle for tackling this ambitious project with me. I wasn't sure whether it was doable, but I guess it was. And I'd like to thank my dad for allowing me to play with his poems in another language. So, I'll jump into the first poem. The English title is Work Dream, and in French, it's called Rêve de Travail. Ce soir, il se fondre en moi, lourd comme ces grosses bottes whites que jadis je portais au placard, humide de sueur, tandis qu'il se laissait aller contre le dossier de la chaise de cuisine, les cheveux plaqués sur le crâne. Je sens mon souffle long et régulier, le fort pour soulever le poids, le désir de renoncer. Mon père, assis dans ma poitrine, a le regard fixe, d'un noir de phoque. Il défait bouton après bouton sa chemise de laine, les manchettes, les poches, pose un paquet de camel et une pochette d'allumettes sur la table. J'ai mal aux os, je veux qu'il reste, qu'il me dise ce que je ne peux pas comprendre. Mon vieux allonge le cou, hausse les épaules, serre les dents et avale la fumée, la retient, l'accompagne jusqu'au bout. Il lorgne le garde-manger, la bouteille d'Old Crow, perchée sur l'étagère, se pourlèche. Nous restons immobiles, trop de réconfort, ce rendez-vous de rêveur à minuit, triste et crevé. Le seul tonique dont nous soyons capables, en large sourire. Raide, endolori, je me retourne, réveillé une fois de plus, et, tout en priant que le travail de demain soit moins dur, je prends le vieux crayon de cheminot de mon père. And now poet Mark Gibbons will read the original.
Hi.
Your friend.
Work dream. Work dream, work dream, work dream, work dream. Work dream, work dream. No,
not.
Oh, I see. Well, so long, definitely. Work dream! I don't need a mic! Do I?
No.
Work dream. Tonight he slumps inside me, heavy, as his white work boots I used to carry to the closet, still damp with sweat, while he leaned back in the kitchen chair, his hair matted to his head. I feel the rise and fall of my breath, the effort to lift, the desire to quit. My father sits in my chest and stares with stony, seal-black eyes. Slowly unbuttons his wool shirt, cuffs and pockets, sets a pack of camels, a book of matches on the table. My bones ache. I want him to stay. Tell me what I can't understand. My old man cranes his neck, shrugs his shoulders, sets his teeth, and inhales deep, holds the pressure before he rides it down. He eyes the pantry, the old crow's rook, licks his upper lip. Neither of us moves. An odd comfort, this midnight rendezvous of sad, busted-ass dreamers. The only tonic we can manage, a grin. Stiff and sore, I roll over, awake again, and pray tomorrow's labor will be sweeter, hefting my dad's old brakeman's pencil. I want to say thank you, of course, to Garth for letting us do this, and to Michelle for being there for Sean, who had this wild idea. I want to thank all of you for being here. I mean, this is amazing, and I don't think we do anything in isolation, even if we do some kind of an art form that's just by ourselves locked away in a room. So thank you all for being here. I'm going to read another poem in English, and then we're going to ask the real Frenchman, and I know there's a lot of real Frenchmen here, but Michel is going to follow with the French reading of this poem. And it's kind of a goofy poem, you know. Sometimes you write poems because I don't know why, you know, and this one just kind of presented itself. And the guy that published this book, both guys that published this book are with us tonight, the publishers from Two Dogs Press, Mr. James Jay and Mr. Thor Nolan. And so this poem is for Jimbo, my good friend and fellow poet. It's called Mass Hysteria. At 20, I believed anyone who didn't agree with me about Marx, Karl, or Groucho was a humorless, money-grubbing bastard. I measured the world by blisters and shit-eating grins. My conclusion, workers of the world, unite. Raise your eyebrows and duck walk in circles. You work it too much for too little pay. Turn some serious dough into funny money. Don't join the circus to tame the clowns. Never trade the sunrise for a real estate tip. At 30, I became a father, grist for the mill, let go of the Communist Manifesto, traded my ideals for a washer and dryer, health insurance, the diluted assurance of a savings account. I learned to live every day, every hour for tomorrow. It was no laughing matter. I thought, what did I know? In Moscow, Marxists were eating their dogs, and a B-movie clown told jokes in the White House. I drank and worked overtime. At 40, I barely survived my father's death, exhumed his radical heart, the one he inherited from his wobbly old man. A hand-me-down, black and tan doodle heart, years in the mines and whiskey couldn't kill. The comedy of it all. Economics, revolution, utopian dreams. Are we molded more by our stories or our genes? We work, we laugh, we cry, we eat, we drink, we screw, we die. Talking all the time. Systems are random and chaos a pattern. Feed the huddled masses duck soup. At 50, will I wear my trousers rolled? Will my children scold me for singing out loud and squandering their college tuition on a day at the races? Give me a farce, 2 tickets to paradise. We'll party until it's time. You grow old, you grow cold as proletarian dreams. You grow bold at the promise your shadow will lengthen. Tonight at the opera, it's all horse feathers. The tenor of the troupe is fat. The king snores through an aria. Our queen loses her dress. Fuck it, the business of debt.
To follow. Hystérie collective. À 20 ans, je croyais que tous ceux qui n'étaient pas d'accord avec moi, à propos de Marx, Karl ou Groucho, étaient des cons, pleins de fric sans humour. Je mesurais le monde aux ampoules dans les mains et aux sourires crispés. Ma conclusion, travailleurs du monde, unissez-vous, sourcils à la Groucho. Et 3 petits tours en canard. Vous bossez trop, pour trop peu de pèse. Avec leur blé raisonnable, faites de l'oseille folle. Laissez tomber ce cirque bon à apprivoiser les clowns. Ne bradez pas un soleil couchant contre une pompe afrique. À 30 ans, j'ai fait un gosse. C'était de l'eau à leur moulin. Bye bye, le manifeste communiste. J'ai vendu mon idéal pour un lave-linge, la sécu, l'assurance illusoire d'un compte épargne. J'ai appris à vivre chaque jour, chaque heure pour le lendemain. Il n'était pas question de rire. J'ai pensé, je savais quoi ? À Moscou, les marxistes mangeaient leurs chiens, pendant qu'un clown de série B débitait ses conneries à la Maison-Blanche. J'ai fait des heures sup au boulot et au bar. À 40 ans, j'ai encaissé comme j'ai pu la mort de mon père. J'ai exhumé son cœur de rebelle, hérité de son vieux, un wobbly. Cœur qui marchait à la bière, qui battait la campagne, que les années au fond de la mine et le whisky n'avaient pas bousillé. Et la rigolade à la clé. L'économie, la révolution, l'utopie. Sommes-nous façonnés plus par nos vies que par nos gènes ? On bosse, on rit, on pleure, on mange, on boit, on baise, on meurt, on bavasse tout le temps. Système à la 6-4-2 et le chaos comme modèle. Nourrissez-moi les masses à la soupe au canard. À 50 piges, porterai-je mon pantalon retroussé ? Est-ce que mes enfants m'engueuleront pour avoir chanté à tue-tête ou pour avoir claqué aux courses ? En un seul jour, l'argent pour les mettre à la fac. Donnez-moi de quoi rire et 2 billets pour le paradis. Nous ferons la fête jusqu'à la fin. Tu vieillis, tu refroidis comme un rêve de prolétaire. Tu t'enhardis à la promesse que ton ombre s'allongera. Ce soir, à l'opéra, c'est un monde absurde qui parade. Le ténor de la troupe est Grazalar. Le roi ronfle pendant l'aria et notre reine en perd sa robe. On vous doit quelque chose ? Mon cul !
The French sounds so much more like poetry, don't you think?
I do.
So we aren't going to read that many because so many people are standing up but we want to read what turns out to be the title poem of this book, Mauvaise Herbe. I know you French are like going, what a clown. Mauvaise Herbe is the first 2 sections of a book that we did called Connemara Moonshine. He translated the whole book, but they wanted to do a bilingual edition, so a book this size was only half the size of that manuscript. And so rather than do what is Connemara Moonshine in French?
La Claire de Lune de Connemara.
Rather than do that, because nobody's Irish in France anyway, I guess, I don't know. They liked Mauvaise Herbe, and you can explain that, because it has, you know, a great sort of metaphoric kind of meaning in French. So the title poem turned out to be Weeds. That's the American translation of Mauvaise Herbe. Long story to nowhere. Weeds. That was no bum sleeping on your lawn, bottle tucked under his arm. Didn't you recognize his red ball tennis shoes? Remember the fish stories he told with his hands? The toothless smile, that time he danced a jig at Chadwick and Boyd's tavern, clowning for rowdy, plaid-clad loggers. A Gandhi dancer turned chokesetter. He became a Zen cat skinner before he retired to booze. Had a home but never claimed it. One of those tar paper shacks on Rose Hill. He had to stop eating at the Silver Grill. Shook so bad he drank beer through a straw. You thought he'd been dead for years, like Gabby Hollow, Indian Rock, and Cherry Springs, all lost to the flood of 64 or the interstate highway construction. Don't be afraid to wake him, the sleeper, deaf, mute, and drunk. We are all sleepers, whether we like it or not. And isn't this your dream? The old man's polio knees bent back the wrong way. A rusty shotgun in the corner of a sheep herder's shack, skull fragments like eggshells scattered on the floor. He sips at the pint of Mad Dog 2020, watches a cross burn hellfire on Catholic church steps as sheeted shadows fade into trees. He nurses his leprosy, the jug, acceptance of what is. The cake dirt he doesn't try to wash off. You'll take his unshaven face to the grave. Name him Kelly, Cookie, Blackie Marquette, Jimmy DeBanda, Ori Sizemore. You know this sleeper could be Nine Mile Bill or Freddie Lavoy. Still, you must wake him before sunrise, rouse him from the weeds, serve him sourdough pancakes, bacon, and eggs. Listen for the signs, the wind in your blood, swim the deep night black in the bottom of his eyes, and slip him a $5 bill before he goes. You know, this dream, this ghost, can save you.
All right, here it is in French. Mauvais herbe. Ce n'était pas un SDF qui dormait sur ta pelouse en litron sous le bras. Tu ne l'as pas reconnu à ses tennis red ball. Tu te souviens des histoires de pêche qu'il racontait avec les mains, avec son sourire édenté. La fois où il a dansé le jig à la taverne Chadwick et Boyd et fait le pitre pour les boucherons en virée avec leurs chemises à carreaux. Poseur de rails, puis scieur de long, il a fini écorcheur de chat zen avant de prendre sa retraite dans le torboyau. Ça de mur, il n'en a jamais fait en fromage, était engourbi de toile gourdonnée sur Rose Hill. Il n'avait plus les moyens de manger au Silver Grill. Il avait tellement de tremblotes qu'il buvait sa bière avec une paille. Tu pensais qu'il était mort depuis des années, comme Gabby Hollow, Indian Rock et Cherry Springs. Disparu pendant l'inondation de 64 ou la construction de l'autoroute fédérale. N'aie pas peur de le réveiller, ce dormeur surmoué, ivre mort. Nous sommes tous les dormeurs, qu'on le veuille ou non. Et n'est-ce pas ton rêve, les genoux de vieux arqués par la polio, son fusil de chasse rouillé dans un coin de sa cabane de berger, des fragments de crâne éparpillés comme une coquille d'œuf sur le sol. Il surrote sa pente de Mad Dog 2020, tout en contemplant une croix qui brûle dans feu d'enfer sur les marches de l'église catho, pendant que les ombres disparaissent sous les arbres. Il soigne sa lèpre, lève le coude, accepte son sort, le saleté incrusté qu'il n'essaie pas de chasser. Tu emporteras l'image de son visage mal rasé dans la tombe. Appelle-le Kelly, Cookie, Blackie Marquette, Jimmy DeBanda, Ori Sizemore. Tu sais que ce dormeur pourrait être Nine Mile Bill ou Freddie Lavoy. Oui, il faudra le réveiller avant l'aube, dans l'herbe où il a passé la nuit, lui porter des crêpes au levain, des œufs au bacon. Écoute les signes, le vent dans ton sein, plonge-toi au fin fond de noir de ses yeux et glisse-lui un billet de $5 avant qu'il s'éloigne. Tu le sais, ce rêve, ce fantôme peuvent te sauver.
All right, we've got two more, and that would be four for you if you're counting. This one is a poem that kind of, a lot of these are very emotional poems. I mean, I haven't read them in a while, but, and then a lot of you. I'm not going to look at some of you. And I'm damn glad my sister's not here. So anyway, this is like the, this poem is about the death of, the first significant death in my life, a friend of mine, and it's called Pissed at Potter's Funeral. That frosty November day, Tom stood at the edge of the grave we dug the night before. The preacher, stern, Bible in hand, prayed God have mercy on Potter's soul. guilty as Potter of too much fun. The rest of us bowed our heads, bit our tongues, but Tom never played by the rules. He whistled, barked out a staccato laugh, then poured Budweiser on the casket. His cackle yanked and lashed every sorry neck erect. BW and Rasta sprung for him, grabbed his arms and shook him hard, hissed he'd better knock it off or they were going to kick his ass. But Tom was drunk and crazy strong. He threatened to piss in the grave. Only Potter could handle him well, speaking those low, gentle tones he'd used to calm horses and dogs. I watched the pine box in the bottom of the hole, knew easy was over for good. Tom struggled to open his zipper. The three of them almost went down. Potter's mother let go of the minister's arm, crossed to Tom, and sheltered his hands with her hands. She smiled. Her thumbs rubbed the ridges of his knuckles, and he melted, bent forward, and cried. She whispered in his ear, slipped her arm through his arm. The two of them shuffled away. The wind swayed tall pines that banked the plot. I looked west, and two ravens hovered motionless in currents above the river, then peeled off and disappeared downstream. There was snow up Whiskey Gulch. I didn't know what to do, so I scooped the first shovel of dirt in the grave. It covered the inlaid cross on the coffin lid and interred the gifts Tom left for Potter's journey, a pipe and beaded medicine pouch beside the empty beer can.
Some of the scene reminds me of this grotesque humor, dramatic humor, you know, gypsy movie in the ancient Yugoslavia. En rogne à l'enterrement de Potter. Ce jour glacial de novembre, Tom se tenait au bord de la fosse que nous avions creusée la veille au soir. Le pasteur, grave, la Bible à la main, a prié que Dieu ait pitié de l'âme de Potter. Coupable comme Potter d'avoir trop fait la vie, nous, on inclinait la tête, on se taisait. Mais Tom n'a jamais su jouer le jeu. Il a siffloté et parti d'un rire saccadé, puis a vidé une canette de Budweiser sur le cercueil. Son gloussement a fait se redresser nos coups misérables. BW et Rastus se sont jetés sur lui, lui ont saisi les bras, en le secouant, lui ont dit que s'il n'arrêtait pas son char, il le tabasserait. Mais Tom était bourré, fou allié. Il a menacé de pisser dans la tombe. Potter seul savait s'y prendre avec Tom. Il lui parlait à voix basse, doucement, comme quand il calmait les chevaux et les chiens. Je regardais le cercueil en bois de pin au fond de la fosse et je savais que le bon temps était bien fini. Tom se démenait pour ouvrir sa braguette. Ils ont failli tomber tous les trois dans la fosse. La mère de Potter a quitté le bras du pasteur pour s'avancer vers Tom. Elle a pris ses mains dans les siennes, elle a souri. Ses pouces ont caressé ses articulations. Il s'est relâché, s'est incliné, il a pleuré. Elle lui a glissé quelques mots à l'oreille, a passé son bras dans le sien. Tous deux se sont éloignés, comme à regret. Le vent agitait les grands pins qui bordent le cimetière. J'ai regardé à l'ouest, où deux corbeaux, immobiles, se laissaient porter par l'air au-dessus de la rivière
avant de s'écarter pour disparaître vers l'aval. Il y avait de la neige sur le ravin de Whisky. Je ne savais pas quoi faire. Alors j'ai versé la première pelletée de terre dans la fosse. Elle a recouvert la croix fixée sur le couvercle du cercueil et enterré les cadeaux que Tom avait laissés pour le voyage de Potter. Une pipe, une poche votive au nez de perles, à côté de la canette vide.
So this is the last one that we're going to do for you. And thank you again for coming. And this is like my favorite poem in the book. And it's the poem that I wrote for my sister. And I talked Sean into doing it because it was filled with song lyrics from old Elvis songs. And so anyway, you're gonna get a rendition of this poem from Sean first, and then I'll finish with it. And thank you all for coming. And another thing, because I probably won't get to say it in public again, this book exists because of him. I wrote poems 2002, but the book exists because of it.
I should mention also, I guess maybe before I forget, these books are back with Garth, if anybody wants to get one. They're back there. Also, the lyrics in this poem are here in French, thanks to Claude Held, who's the kind of collaborative translator in France, who worked with our publisher. So he's that one actually translated the lyrics. I left them in English because I thought the French listened to English songs. So, but they actually turned out really well. So I'll give it a shot here. La musique que ma sœur m'a donnée pour Connie. 1. Assis dans mon fauteuil à bascule, cadeau des timbres verts S et H, à l'ombre de peupliers de Virginie, j'écoutais les 45 tours que tu m'as laissés, Pat Boone, Billy Haley et Elvis. Ton vieux tourne-disque hi-fi arrosait le carré de trottoir autour de la maison que tu as quitté à 17 ans. J'ai scotché une pile de sang sur le bras métallique pour maintenir l'aiguille dans le sillon. Je te désire, j'ai besoin de toi, je t'aime de tout mon cœur. J'avais besoin de toi comme Rock Hudson avait besoin de Doris Day. Comme Murphy, notre chien norvégien, désirait que je pose mon oreille sur son ventre pour y écouter les gargouilles. Mets une chaîne autour de mon cou, conduis-moi où tu veux, veux-tu me. Il aurait fallu que le saphir soit plus lourd. Mais je savais que si j'y touchais, il y avait une chance sur deux pour qu'une décharge électrique me traverse le bras et vibre dans mes dents, mon zobe, mes cheveux. Prendre de jus était drôle quand tu étais là. Tu riais quand je sursautais. Mais j'avais peur quand j'étais seul, après ton départ. Car mon chéri, je t'aime. Je t'aimerai toujours. 2. Est-ce pareil dans la maladie de Parkinson? Comme si ta vie ne faisait que sauter, sauter, sursauter. Je voudrais tant t'aider, faire quelque chose de simple, te mettre à la terre quand tu disjonctes dans cette danse de pupée spasmodique, maudique, que tes pilules te forcent à endurer. Mieux vaut la dyskinésie que rien, dis-tu. Si tu t'arrêtes, tu es pétrifié. Sois pas cruel envers un cœur fidèle. Qu'importe si tu blagues avec tout ça, la danse, la panne sèche, les chocs, les spasmes, les soubresauts, la sueur, ton visage ravagé. Ton visage qui essaie de tenir le coup,
mine mon cœur de bois, celui que j'ai sculpté pour toi. Dis-moi, qui tire les ficelles, rit et pleure pour les marionnettes. Tu m'as appris, grande sœur, après une trentaine d'années, la folie de la pitié et de la honte. Oui, je serai ta chose, je serai ce que tu me veux. 3. Quand j'avais 6 ans, tu m'as laissé la musique comme remède. Connie Francis, Johnny Mathis, les frères Everly, Conway Twitty, Johnny Cash et Percy Faith. Souviens-toi du jour où on a dansé avec Murphy dans le jardin. Follement comme la mer démontée. Tu tenais ses pattes devant et je tirais sa queue bouclée, sa langue pendait de côté. La tête rejetée en arrière, il suivait le rythme, le blanc de ses yeux brillait. Encornillo, voilà ce que tu es. En sautillant, en tournant jusqu'au moment où on a tout culbuté dans l'herbe, et moi je riais à m'en faire mal au bide. Murphy haletait près de nous, suivait le déclic régulier de Saphir qui sautait en fin de disque. Je ne pouvais plus bouger, mais je me sentais apaisé par la cadence. Ma tête suivait le rythme de ton ventre. Dans mon esprit, nous n'étions que mouvement, comme Elvis. Mes hanches tournoyaient, tu rejetais tes cheveux en arrière. J'aime, j'en suis tout remoué. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah, j'en suis tout remoué.
That's what he said earlier. He said, well, I'll do it first because I don't want to follow you. It's like, how do you follow that? That sounds better than it does in English.
Excellent job.
Thank you again all for coming. And it's a great night for us. I know that Michelle will probably speak to you after I finish with this poem, and because there is a ton of vino here, and I've got a bunch of cans of this famous, priceless, expensive beer, and maybe food, too, at a later point. Yeah, there's a pizza showing up here at some point. So we'll be here for at least another hour, probably, or somewhere in that neck of the woods, and there are books, and we'll sign them for you if you want to turn a $22 book into a $50 book. Okay, so this is a poem that I wrote for my sister on a birthday many years ago now. And it's called Music My Sister Gave Me, and it's for Connie, and it's in 3 parts. 1. Sitting outside in my S&H Green Stamps rocking chair, in the shade of the cottonwood tree, I played records, 45s you'd left behind, Pat Boone, Bill Haley, and Elvis. Your old RCA hi-fi fit perfect, one square of the sidewalk that circled our house you left at 17. I taped a stack of pennies on the metal tone arm to keep the needle in the grooves. I want you, I need you, I love you with all my heart. I needed you like Rock Hudson needed Doris Day. The way Murphy, our Norwegian elk hound, wanted me to lay my ear on his belly so I could listen to him gurgle inside. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Won't you let me, let me, let me. The phonograph stylus needed more weight, but I knew if I touched it, there was a 50-50 chance a zap jolt of electricity would shoot up my arm, buzz my teeth,
my Peter, and my hair. Those shocks were funny with you, laughing when I jerked, but scary when I was alone after you'd gone. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Two. Is it like that with Parkinson's disease? Like your life is skip, skip, skipping away? I wish I could fix it. Do something simple like a meltdown. Do something simple like, wish I could fix it. Cue me, Sean.
Oh, shoot.
Do something simple like, wow, you know how many times I've done this poem in public? Damn. Do something simple like...
Could do something like simple as grounding your haywire.
As grounding your haywire connections. The erratic puppet dance. Your pills drag you through. Dyskinesia is better than nothing, you say. If you stop, you'll turn to stone. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. No matter how much you joke about it, about dancing or running out of gas, the jerking, the shaking, the kicks and the sweats, your yanked expression holding on for the ride saps this wooden heart of mine, the one I carved for you. Tell me, who pulls the strings, laughs and cries for marionettes? You taught me, big sister, after 30-odd years, the folly of pity and shame. Yes, any way you want me, that's how I will be. Three. When I was just 6 years old, you left me the medicine of music. Connie Francis, Johnny Mathis, the Everly Brothers, Conway Twitty, Johnny Cash, and Percy Faith. Remember the day we danced with Murphy around the yard, wild as the raging sea? You held his front paws, and I pulled his curly tail. Tongue lolling out the side of his mouth, head thrown back, he rocked to the beat. The whites of his eyes flashed. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. We hopped and spun till we tumbled in a pile on the grass. Laughed so hard, it hurt my gut. Murphy panted beside us, kept time to the revolving click of the stylus, writing the groove at the end of the record. I couldn't move but felt soothed by rhythm. Your stomach bobbed my head. In my mind, we were motion like Elvis. I gyrated my hips. You tossed your hair. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. I'm all shook up.
I guess that's it, unless anyone has a question or wants to ask a question.
Hey, people are going to stand around and talk for a long time, so you guys might as well read more poetry.
Encore!
Well, we could do one more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll let the title be a mystery to those who don't speak French until the English is read. Cowboy infiltré. Plongé jusqu'au cou parmi les roades, les cowboys, les cordes, les chorales, je me blottis sous les lourdes couvertures de laine en gigotant pour réchauffer les draps glacés. J'épie les ombres qui virevoltent sur le plancher de ma chambre, dans un rayon lumineux imprégné de poussière qui se glisse sous la porte, follement, comme un clown de rodeo qui jouerait au matador. Ma mère enfile sa robe de chambre. Elle m'a bordé. Elle ne reviendra pas. Mon père est déjà couché. J'entends les pantoufles de ma mère sur le carrelage. On dirait le frottement de sabots dans une stalle de bois. Une toux claque comme un fouet. Puis j'entends crisser les pouces rugueux de mon père alors qu'il tourne les pages d'un livre cartonné. J'examine le Mustang affolé sur mon couvre-ligne à motif western. Cabré, les naseaux frémissants, fou de liberté, retenu par deux lassos. Puis un feu jaillit dans un éclat d'allumettes. Le tabac s'anime et gris et engrésillant. Une fumée nouvelle envahit l'arène où les cowboys meurent et perdent souvent, contrairement à Opie ou Rory Calhoun. Mon père se lève, fait sa dernière visite au WC et tient la lumière. Pas de saloon ce soir, pas de barrière qui claque, pas de cloche qui retentit, pas de danse de guerre assourdissante, juste les ressorts de sommier, réduits au silence, apaisés, tout ce qui reste est drapé de noir.
What page is that, Richard?
34.
I have a question, too. I just noticed in this thing, right after the table of contents, on kind of, you know, like what would be a dedication page, mm-hmm. It's like, a mom pair. What is that?
To my father.
That's kind of what I thought it was. So, did you do that?
Yeah.
Damn. You know, and I, yeah, that's cool. And because I, you know, when I saw that, and this is how strange it all is, because I was the child. And I was thinking to myself, because these first two sections of this book, my own father was kind of a muse for it. And I was thinking, you know, I never did dedicate that book to anything. And I was thinking, well, this was kind of for my old man, or at least these first two sections were. And thank you. Because this poem is kind of there for my old man. Undercover cowboy and my mother. Up to my chin in bucking horses, cowboys, rope and corrals. I snuggle down deep under heavy wool blankets, rustle and kick to warm, cold sheets. I peek at the whirling, dancing shadows thrown dusty across my bedroom floor in a shaft of light below the door, crazy as a matador rodeo clown, my mother slipping into her robe. She's tucked me in, won't be back. My dad's already in bed. I hear her slippers scraping the tiles like hooves in a barnwood stall. A bullwhip cough cracks my ear, and I hear the rasp of my father's rough thumbs turning pages of a hardback book. I study the panicked Mustang on my western bedspread, rearing, nostrils flared, desperate to be free, but held down by two lariats. Then wildfire erupts in a stick match flash as tobacco hisses to life. Fresh smoke dusts the arena again, where punchers die and rarely win, like Hoppy or Rory Calhoun. My dad gets up, makes his final pass at the toilet, kills the light. No saloons tonight. No chute gates bang, no cowbells clang, no thundering battle dance. Just bed springs settling to silence. Still, all that's left is sheeted dark. Thank you all for coming. Very much. So now what do we do?
Mix and mingle.
Eat, drink, and be merry. Talk amongst yourselves. This sign will...
Pizza coming in 10 minutes, I think, so... And help yourself to wine because we need space for the pizza. So take glasses, you know. Pick up.
If anybody wants me to sign a book, or Sean to sign a book, or Michelle to sign a book, we'll do it up here probably, I guess. Since we're here, standing here.